right. Hello and welcome to It Doesn't Work That Way with me, Kalisha Zachary, and...
And another guest, me, J.M. Knighton from By Far the Dopest Version.
I mean, we're missing one in action, one of our sisters in the community. Brother Knighton is here, but Sister Cashel...
Is out of pocket for the moment.
She's out of pocket for a while, so y'all... you're going to miss Cashel for just a couple beats, but she'll be back. Mm-hmm. She is in the throes of, how should I say it, Joe? Creative greatness?
The black pool of genius.
Okay, literally.
She is in the black pool of genius.
She is swimming in the black pool of genius, and she is on her creative journey. And so Joe is going to support me on... It doesn't work that way. So thank you guys for tuning in. Usually, Joe, I start with a question and Cashel will basically say it doesn't work that way. And just recently, Cashel was tapped on the shoulder by NYU Tulsa, which was a great opportunity for our production company to do a lecture on screenwriting.
Right.
So we spent some time in Tulsa. They had a panel discussion and then we went into a screenwriting workshop, which was great. But during the panel discussion, it was all of these budding Tulsa film community folks. They are building a film community, one that I believe will give Dallas a little run for the money.
Okay. That's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Maybe we got a little Red River battle going on there. I don't know, because, you know, I was there and it was very interesting how, you know, the Native Americans there, they're very much a true community. Like, they are full on supporting each other and trying to make films just outside of Killers of the Flower Moon, which was a big Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, you know. But there it was just a great panel. So on the panel, they asked, had a Q&A. And one of the men in the audience, he stood up and he was like, you know, how do you make film communities safe? So that's my question. That triggered the question. I wrote it in my little book. And I'm going to go from this from an independent lens because that's where I'm at. Say it like this. All independent film communities are safe.
In the words of Cashel, it doesn't work that way.
It really don't. It really don't. And Joe, when he said that, and you're an actor.
Yes, I am.
You've been on sets. Mm-hmm. You've been on sets in Dallas. You've been on sets in Atlanta.
Yes.
You've been on sets in multiple places. And I'm a producer. I'm not an actor. So it depends. I believe it depends on which lane you're sitting in. I know what my responsibility is and building a set. But then when you have that outside social networking community, he was talking about that.
Right.
And he was basically saying, is it safe? And I didn't take it as, am I physically safe?
Right.
Like, is somebody going to hurt me? I took it as, how do I know I'm not going to get hustled?
Right. It's a hard thing to navigate because I think when we enter into these creative spaces and, you know, we want to feel like we're safe because we're working with people that have a like-minded venture in our minds, but not everyone there is for your best interest. And sometimes you find that out early. Sometimes you find that out late. So it is a hard place to navigate in. And like for myself being here in Dallas and wondering if film communities are safe, I would kind of see things and kind of hear different things, even in watching like final films. And I would be like, wow, you did that. Were you safe in that aspect of what you were doing?
Well, let's talk about like here in Dallas last year, they had a film mixer. It was packed.
It was.
And I normally don't go to events like that because I just try to stay in my lane and do what I got to do. But I went because we were doing the podcast with the film commissioner at the time, Tony. And so I went and, you know, we talked or whatever. And then I just seen how everybody was mingling. And I was like, oh, wow, this is when he asked the question, he was asking, like, how are you not going to get hustled in this space? Because one, film feels very vanity. Like, it's like they feel like Hollywood is going to happen immediately. Yeah. Or that Hollywood is in their backyard. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of ego, and there's a lot of it's a lot of hustlers. It's a lot of bad apples,
right?
As I would say, in the realm. And one thing I wanted to say is that the film industry as a whole is sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like internally sick from diversity, equity, and inclusion. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not supposed to say that.
No.
Okay, Joe. I mean,
you got to say it though. You got to level set it and put it out there.
Because what other word? What else am I going to use? Okay. So, because
it's true.
It's very true. But to that, to Me Too movements,
right?
To it's truly Hollywood is truly not based on meritocracy. It is basically who you know that's going to help you get the money. What are you willing to do
to get that money?
The mm-hmm. casting couch, as they mm-hmm. say. So it's like all of these different things, and it's corruption, greed. It's just a system where I know for sure merit is overshadowed by favoritism because people love their favorite.
Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by Frame of Reference. The series explores the vulnerable and often hectic lives of a close group knit of friends and provides a truthful evaluation of how fear and past misfortunes can define our present point of view. You can stream season one of Frame of Reference on the Roku channel, Tubi TV, or Prime Video.
Nobody does it better than the Watts Podcast Network.
Just that simple.
You're completely correct about that, because we've talked about that before, how we love our favorites and we overlook certain things for them to continue to be our favorites, even though it may be a little bit controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Problematic favorites. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. And then, you know, there's the politics, that we talked about, the discrimination, mm-hmm. and the artistic film quality, whether it be a short film, a doc, or a series or a movie, the quality suffers.
Right.
Right. And then you get in. So you want to be a filmmaker. You go to this mixer at NYU. You see all these people that want to be there. And no matter what, there's always somebody. I call them a room stealer.
Mm.
The whole energy of the room go to that person.
What does that mean?
That means like if you're in I'm an observer. So if I have been in situations where I've been in that room and it's just like one or two super quote unquote popular people.
Okay. Understood.
And they are charismatic
mm-hmm.
and they know the right thing to say to make you feel good.
Right.
And they're like, man, you are, oh my God, you so talented. Well, how do you know? You ain't even seen any of my stuff.
Right.
It's okay. You know, you're so talented, man. I'm getting ready to film in 2 weeks. And then you're like, you're eager. Mm-hmm. You're an actor. You want a role.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come out and do my role. And then it goes down this long line where they are either being manipulated. Once you really get to the core of it, they never meant what they really were going to say.
Right.
They never meant what they really, what they said is not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that young man was asking, how do we make it safe as a community at the mixers? How do you be safe in those environments? It really got me to thinking, because, you know, Dallas Metroplex is large. It's way bigger than
Tulsa. Right.
And there's budding filmmakers galore here.
Mm-hmm, there are.
How does one navigate the film community?
I think you have to level set it definitely where you're at. Even though Dallas is big, I feel like our film community, while it appears large, it is really small once mm-hmm. you really get down to it, even mm-hmm. though we have budding directors and DPs and things coming in around us. So word starts to get around.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the way that you stay safe is really how you conduct yourself and how you go into that space and level set. Okay, what am I willing to give away?
Mm-hmm.
Am I here just to work? Am I here to make a friend? And how you go about it that way is how you kind of protect yourself in that space.
Yeah.
'Cause I feel like you don't see a lot of what is going to happen until after it already happens.
Right. And you know, in our industry, it's a gig economy, right? So mm-hmm. it's not like a 9 to 5.
No, you're right.
Right. Even mm-hmm. though we may be on set from 9 to 5, it's not every single day. And you have different factors of the industry. You have the writers, you have the producers, mm-hmm. you have the executive producers, you have the directors, you have the crew, you have the cast, you have all these different facets mm-hmm. of the ecosystem, and respectfully, every single one of those need to be protected.
Right.
And how you do that, if you're a writer and you're just giving away your script, but you went to the mixer and this charismatic, you know, Michael B. Jordan looking man told you, shout out to Michael B. Jordan.
We know, okay, you appreciate him.
I appreciate Michael B. Jordan. Okay. I will go see. Pretty much Michael B. Jordan has me signed up for anything he releases.
That's good. That's what you want. You want to create that. But
I'm bought in.
I feel you. Okay.
And the other half of it is that the other shout out I want to give to is Jonathan Majors, because mm-hmm. we don't cancel people over here at Watts Productions.
No.
They ain't going to get me to cancel Will Smith.
Right. Same. I'm the same way with Will.
And they not going to get me to cancel
Brother Majors.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have this person, this charismatic individual mm-hmm. or individuals, mm-hmm. and they're telling you they're going to make everything you ever dreamed of come true.
Right.
How do you come off that cloud?
You have to realize that the wave is big, and you also have to level set it. This is a bit of advice I got from Watts Productions. If you really care about it, make them sign an NDA.
Please.
And even if you feel like you're on the level to where you can't even, where you're mm-hmm. uncomfortable asking mm-hmm. somebody to mm-hmm. sign an NDA, if somebody has a problem signing your NDA when it comes to your creative property, you shouldn't want to back away from the table.
Yeah.
But if you're, I feel as me speaking from like an amateur lens, as far as like being doe-eyed in mm-hmm. when I first came in and just kind of like, oh yeah, like
yep.
they have my best interest at heart. Not necessarily mm-hmm. make them step away. Operate in the, get away from, keep your heart, but get away from your heart, operating your heart in business. Treat it like a business, because I guarantee you, they are going to treat it like a business. They are. Mm-hmm. So have them sign that NDA.
Emotions can get so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And even as a producer, even when I'm doing, like, let me say this. If you want to know more about the production side of independent, growing independent film company like Watts.
Yes.
Sign up for the Watts Dome mm-hmm. on Patreon, because you'll see we're going to start to do tutorials of that, like really going in depth. You can find a general NDA on Google.
Right.
So that's just free information. How you apply it, what you apply in setting that up, those are some tips and tricks that you can get directly from Watts and our expertise behind the dome, as me and Cashel are producers and administrators, and we know how to set up an infrastructure. In other words, we know how to get shit done.
Absolutely.
And we know how to get shit done the right way. And so make sure you sign up for the Watts Dome. But for going back to the conversation, to take away those doe eyes, I really want everyone to vet people they want to build a community with.
Right.
Okay. It is important to ensure quality, right? Your quality. Like, to me, if you don't know what it is that you really want to make, why would you partner with someone that you, just because they appear to be, that's that illusion,
right?
To be famous or
doing the right thing the right way,
or the life of the party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, to me, if I'm not I don't make reality TV.
Right.
So I don't do any of that. Why would I try to build a community with other people that's making reality TV?
It flows against what you're trying to do.
So if you're, so for me, that would be the first thing, is taking the time to, you know, you meet these people, you exchange Instagrams, or back in the day it used to be business cards, but okay. or you get the QR code on LinkedIn, you exchange that information, and then you just need to sit back and watch.
Right.
Too many people are trying to make instant connections that turn out to be duds.
Right.
And that is where you open yourself up to no longer being safe, and now you're vulnerable.
You are.
Right. You see what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you can't do that. And this is what I wanted to tell him, but I wasn't on the panel.
Right.
So I was like, dang.
But he's going to listen to this episode.
Amen.
He's going
to know. Come on.
He's going to hear this episode and he's going to know.
Brother Joe, Brother Doe, because I don't know his real name. We call him Brother Doe, because like John Doe, I don't know his name. But he asked such a question that was so righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud the director of NYU, Tulsa there, the provost, the whole team, because she was on the panel. Her name is Lindsay, and she just made a comment that she wants to protect that community. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh, okay, that's good. She's saying it. I want to protect it, because we don't understand how somebody is on cloud 9, 10 coming in with what they want to do creatively, right, and then they get with a predator
that is just looking to take from you. No ideas of their own, but will take yours.
Oh my God. Okay. It's very true. And to me, if you're building a strong relationship, you have to verify that their artistic goals align with yours.
Right. And in order to do that, you have to slow down. Like you alluded to just earlier, like, don't be in such a rush to make your backyard Hollywood. Don't be in that rush. Slow down. Get to know them. Vet them. You'll save yourself a lot of time.
You really will. I mean, you really will. And then you will learn, like, who's playing and who's actually being serious about. Because if you're serious, then you should only align yourself with serious creators,
right,
or you're going to frustrate yourself.
Right.
You know, I think all. So here's the other point, because the next point is you have people in that room. I think when we were at the mixer here in Dallas, everybody is talking about the one thing they need in film, which is financing.
Money.
Right. That's it. That's all they're going to talk about. But their films are being made every single day. So I know there's budgets.
Right.
Right. We're even as independents, we can come up with some money to make something. Right. It depends on how bad you want it. But I look at the room and I'm like, this is how people start to talk you out of what you're worth.
By attaching monetary value to it, and you start to see that cloud of like,
or you, they say they don't have anything to offer you.
Oh, wow.
Like, how many times can you do that?
Hmm.
How many times can you be like, I want to do this. Oh, it's for film credit. You see what I mean?
I see,
like,
what you mean.
There's no compensation for you to show up that day.
Right. Right. It is a, I think especially when you're starting out, it is a tough thing to go for, because, you know, you get the pizza credit or the credit for something else, or, you know, oh, it's the IMDb, or, you know, oh, you'll have real credit. And like, back to being doe-eyed, you're so hungry and so wanting to prove yourself, or just for the fact of getting work so you can practice, you accept the bare minimum when you don't have to accept the bare minimum. And I think after there's a point in time after you come in contact with having again, I don't want to call it success, but where you're going up the escalator where you can't come back down and go back to those things. So like for me, I'm having success as a paid actor, whether it be in commercial or anything else. So even though how much I love people, I'm gonna be like, well, can you come do this for like credit or copy? I no longer can do that. And you could have something great going on, but I have people that have invested in me that are paying me to do this. And I can't necessarily, as much as I want to help with my heart, I can't come back and do that over and over again, because I pay to go to class.
Right.
I pay for books. I pay to study. I'm paying gas to go back and forth to rehearsals. So it's one of those things where copy or food, it just doesn't do. And eventually that will eat at you, because you'll be like, well, am I worth being paid?
And then you won't get used to talking about what you're worth. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta know your number, and then it needs to be in align with the production that you're at. I can't stand when people come to me with a Sony invoice.
Oh, right.
I'm like, y'all gonna miss me with that.
Yeah.
Y'all gone over there to Sony. We haven't partnered with them yet to distribute.
Yeah.
Yet. But it's like, I think people need to, other thing to keep yourself safe in an independent film community is to vet and then lose the ego.
Yes.
So that you're very aware that you're teachable. Because some of this stuff you could learn, somebody's willing to tell you.
Right.
But the most thing to happen is they don't know what they're talking about.
Let me level set that.
Please?
Watts is willing to tell you.
We will.
They do not gatekeep. So when she alluded to the Watts Dome, that is where they're willing to tell you at and listen to them.
Please, because we've had experience, and I'm not an actor, but I am a producer, and I've met producers from all over, and sometimes it feels so slimy because I can see the ones that are hustlers. you know, and you're like, oh, you hustling these people. Mm-hmm. I can't even, I don't even want to see, I don't, that's why I don't go places like that.
I understand.
Because I don't even want to be associated with the hustler mentality. Because what I believe is that if you lead with, if sometimes if you start out doing stuff one way, you it's hard to change.
Right.
So when you know, I'm going to do 2 free projects a year, or 1, but that script better be gone with the wind.
Yeah.
You know, right, whatever. You know, it got to be something major, you know, and you, or something you really feel passionate about. Mm-hmm. And you put that out there, and that's what you need to put to the world. This is my give back. This is the give back to the community that I love.
Right.
And if you're not willing to do that, and you know what you want and not want to do, if you're in these communities, you're going to be the one in the car using your own money to go get Starbucks for the crew.
Oh, no.
Sir.
I hope that if you are out there doing it, you stop.
You'll be surprised. And I hit you back later.
No, they won't.
And no, they won't. Listen, I was at a church. This is a side topic, mm-hmm. This is why you got to listen. Humility. But I was at a church, and I was served on a ministry at a church. And we were doing an event, and somehow the ministry's credit card wasn't processing at the time. Not that they didn't have the money,
right?
But it wasn't processing at the time. And so I was trying to be kind and be like, I'll go ahead and take care of it. And another lady was on with us, and she was like, no, you won't. You'll never get it back.
Mm.
So you have to understand the game.
Right.
Like, there are people that's just trying to get film made by any means necessary. Mm-hmm. And they will take advantage of you, and then you become the vulnerable one, and then your light begins to diminish. You come off that cloud. You was on 10, you get off a couple sets, now you're on 5.
Right.
So shout out to all those like yourself that are still persevering, even though they've had those dark experiences.
Yeah, and I think that's where you have to make sure that your goal is bigger. So like, if your goal is to be an actor, you shouldn't level set the goal with, my goal is to work specifically for these people.
Yeah.
Because if that is your goal, to work specifically for these people, what happens when things don't go the right way? How do you feel about that? That's why your goal has to be tailored to being able to survive if winter comes.
It, okay. Hibernation time. The other thing is this is the one thing, and Joe, I really want you to go into this one. When you're on set, you want to be safe. This is me telling you how to be safe, okay? If you're on set, camaraderie is important.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. Mm-hmm. But it's crucial to remember that everyone is there to fulfill a specific role and maintain a professional environment.
Right.
Not form friendships.
Right.
And there was a clip where a guy was, I don't know who this actor was. It was on social media. It was a clip where, because I follow a lot of producer and stuff, where he was like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but if you're on set, it's not your job to make friends.
Right.
Thank you for listening. It Doesn't Work That Way podcast is sponsored by The Watts Announcer. The Watts Announcer is a media brand that covers the amazing emerging talents in the entertainment industry, including movies, TV, and more. The inaugural episode features the cast of Frame of Reference. Hosted by Amanda Gaddison, the exclusive interview will be available only on the Watts Prod YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe for notifications. And I've had my own sets, and I hire actors from all over the nation. Mm-hmm. So people come down and they all converge here, and then they, you know, you all, they you find each other, and then you go off on your own way. But I clearly saw how it almost becomes, for some odd reason, an alliance.
Right.
And it's like, is this a professional environment or is this survival?
Right. You're right. I think, so I want to play devil's advocate on that,
yes,
a little bit.
Please.
I think, of course, with my generation, we're coming in through the social media age, and we came up through MySpace and everything like that, and feeling like we had to kind of been conditioned to like, oh, we got to connect with everybody mm-hmm, we mm-hmm. touch. And then I also want to play the advocate on coming back to, I don't know who alluded. Oh, I was listening to In Proximity podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to the episode of Kugler and Michael.
Hi, Michael.
And they were talking about, and I believe it was this podcast episode, but they were talking about coming up with the people that are on your level.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there is some subconscious thing there where you see, well, like this actor's here with me, this actor's here with me. but they aren't the ones passing out jobs. They're the ones looking for jobs. Correct. So that's the where I got to come back to and be like, well, yeah, you're on the same level as you're trying to, you're on the same level as you're going in a direction of wanting to work in a consistent manner. But actors on set aren't the ones creating projects to bring you on.
Yeah.
So I was trying to play advocate, but then I had my own realization in how that works. But we have to get out of the headspace of, my mama used to say, everybody ain't your friend.
Oh, come on, mama.
Everybody ain't your friend. So we have to get out of that headspace of feeling like we always have to be kind and connect with everyone.
And here's the thing. If you know who you are, mm-hmm. and you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you're very grounded and you can critically think, I would go connect with people. How you doing? Because I know that if I hear anything that's opposite of the truth, I know exactly where to put that person. Right. Case in point is that people will gather in that spot, and then it'll be one person that's unhappy with whatever. And then they'll begin to say, okay, I'm gonna pull down Joe. Let me go ahead and plant these seeds of whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it spirals and it becomes infectious. Mm-hmm. And that's not a professional environment.
Not at all.
And so but people who maybe need that validation, I don't know, who like, oh, I got to go meet everybody on here and da da da, you can still meet them and be professional.
Right.
You know, and I think to me, to be safe, you got to take time. Now, there will be some friendships that truly forge out of people being on set together.
And that happens what? Organically.
Organically. And you'll be like, oh my God, we still working together. Mm-hmm. What? It happens organically, and it doesn't become competition. Like, mm-hmm. let me go online and see what they booked.
Right.
That booked and busy was put on there to taunt somebody. Whoever invented booked and busy.
Had y'all hashtagging like crazy.
Whoever did it was like, I'm about to stunt on somebody. I guarantee you. And I you know, okay, I can get it too. The other thing I want to warn the film community about, it doesn't work this way. Popularity is not artistic quality. And I just really want that to sit in. It's just not. And people think, oh, I got a billion followers. You know, I don't know anybody with a billion followers, but that's being bombastic. But I have a million followers. That's great. What are you putting out that's artistic quality? You know what's artistic quality?
What is?
Sinners.
And will you define a little bit deeper, like, what artistic quality is? Are you talking about the quality? Are you talking about the script? Are you talking about the actors? What does all that all encompass?
It. Everything, all the science behind what it is we do. Mm. When you see artistic quality, you're transcended. It transcends race.
Right.
It transcends gender. Moonlight. Mm. Shout out to Barry Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Is artistic quality. Period.
Right.
It doesn't mean Barry Jenkins is the most popular man on the planet. It means that he gave us something that it will literally be a time capsule for forever. It'll live forever.
In multiple spaces, just not in one specific space.
Everything came together so well,
right,
on that film. And that's artistic quality. It doesn't mean because you're popular or you got a quantity of things, mm-hmm. that it's quality.
Right.
And we get it mixed up. Our mentality has to change. If you're going into any film community, independent film community in any state, USA, and you're really wanting to build there, to grow, to go to Hollywood, as some call it, Babylon. We trying to change it though.
Right.
Watts, mm-hmm. is coming, you know, we're gonna take the side door, we're gonna come in and do what we gotta do to change. But if you're doing whatever you have to do to get into that community, you gotta be very, very clear about the things that look hot but ain't.
Right.
You know, some of those people that are in there, the ones that, oh, it's popping, it's this, it's that. Those are the kids I call that peaked in high school. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Okay. So, you know, we all know those people high school, it was lit. And I go back, I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
like, no, you don't. You want the longevity, mm-hmm. and you want, Watts wants the artistic quality.
Understood that.
And if that's what you want as a filmmaker, then you go for that. If you want the fast pace, it don't matter what we putting out there. I don't care how it's going to make people feel. I don't even care. I'm just doing it for whatever reason. Then you go on that other way. But mm-hmm. you need to know that when you're going into a community, or it's going to frustrate your grace.
I understand that. And I think actors should, speaking from the actor side, you should want to take that time to find the things that are quality for you. And I know it's very hard at first, and you kind of want to jump at mm-hmm. everything, mm-hmm. but you can't jump at every single thing. Even though some of the advice has been like, you should take everything that you get. I stand on the other side of that. Like, you shouldn't take everything that is thrown your way. Not everything. You have to reserve. You have to take your no's and reserve your yeses.
Oh,
you have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take them no's, reserve them yeses. Yeah. So listen, this is one thing I want to bring up. This is my last point, is to be grounded and realistic in how the industry works so that you can navigate it with wisdom. And one person I talked to recently was just telling me about all the festivals that they apply to. And I just was like, okay, that makes, you know, if that's how you want to get your film out, because they'll tell you, people will tell you, you need to apply to every festival. And right. it costs money to apply for festivals.
It does.
You know, you're already out here for, you know, if you're a producer, not from the acting standpoint, but just in as a whole, if you're working on a film, and it takes a lot to make a film, a documentary, it's a lot of effort, especially one with artistic quality. Mm-hmm. But this man has a film. He's put it in so many festivals, and it cannot get traction. And then he begins to wonder, is it my film?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, because everybody is not making traction. How are you doing that? I went on a search, and there is an organization in the UK. It hasn't even, I cannot find this organization in America. So this is from a UK perspective, but it hit me so bold that I was like, I'm going to reach out to them. That's why I'm not naming them on the podcast. I want to reach out to them, and I want to ask them, have they done any of this research from an American lens? Mm-hmm. But this was definitely from a UK lens. And basically, they gave the film festival and film funding decision-making pyramid. This organization has a fund that they raise themselves that they will give you if you whistleblow on some of the film festivals and film funds.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So if you're like working behind the scenes, mm-hmm. and you know it's rigged, they're like, tell us.
Oh, okay. So they have an emphasis on who is working for that actual film festival, who's willing to be honest enough to say they already got it cashed in. Like, we pick our winners within the first 5 submissions. Everything else is just for you know? Okay. So that's what you're saying.
So yeah. So if they already know, they want to know the underbelly,
right,
of what it is. And I think it's fair, because they're calling for transparency. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fair, because you get into these film communities, and then people promise the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I think you should state what your vision is for where you want to go. But I also think the person that's collaborating with you, whether that be the actor, the cast, the crew, the writer, the director, whatever, I feel like they should have a realistic understanding that, A, I align with them artistically. B, I know that I vetted them. I've seen their products. I feel like I can work with them. C, it matches what I need financially, on the level that they're at, mm-hmm. meaning I'm not working with an independent and asking for Sony money. And D, if we're going to go the film festival route, we need to know what the truth of it is.
Right.
Okay. This is alleged that the film festivals and film fund decision-making pyramid consists of the following. This is what you need. This is from their site. Nepotism. Oh. And family connections. That's at the top of the pyramid. So if you know how a pyramid works, the top is where it gets all the food.
Right.
Family connections are the single most powerful element in anyone's career. They gave an example of Sofia Coppola, mm-hmm. Rob Reiner. And just because we black, I've added John David Washington.
Okay.
Okay. It is what it is.
And you being fair. You being yes. fair. Across the
and
board.
And Joe, whatever child come out of my body, if they want, if that's they the want to, I mean, I'm going to help them out.
Absolutely. That is the goal.
No, but I want to make sure that they have merit.
Right.
So I want to give them connections with merit.
Understood.
The second one is financial sponsorship, financial interest, kickbacks, and or bribery. Mm. This is at the top priority for some of the most notable festivals, meaning that if you have family connections mm-hmm. or if you're coming with some money, you're getting considered to be chosen for these festivals.
So is that like Anora? Because Anora came out of nowhere.
Anora came out of nowhere. But I would agree with you when it comes to the Oscars. There's great films, yeah. And I haven't seen Anora yet, and I believe it is going to be amazing. Sean Baker did Tangerine, where he shot it on his iPhone. He does a lot of work highlighting the sex worker community, okay. And I believe it's a brilliant film. It's on my watch list, and it's on record that that it's an article that they spent $18 million in their Oscar run,
right.
So I think this would track.
Okay.
So if you got $1, they got $18 million. I don't know if you're going to get your film in front of enough voters.
Not for a dollar.
Okay. The next one is social network friendships. Mm-hmm. Producers, decision makers at film funds, film labs, festival selection committees, members of the jurors, member jurors, and directors. It's not who you know. It's not what you know. It's who you know. So if you know them, that's the third point on that pyramid. If you know them, you got a more...
A better chance
of getting selected,
right?
Okay, so if you ain't got the first three,
you're just spending money.
Then the next one is identity politics.
Oh,
directors, their gender, their ethnicity, social class, and this is much higher for a liberal leaning film festival.
That makes sense.
And I left the festival names out to protect them because I don't, you know, we haven't vetted this all the way right. through. And then from there, if you have the gender politics, the identity politics, then you go down to project themes that feature LGBTQIA, gender, social class, and race. This became much more important in, you know, 2019, mm-hmm. like around the whole 2019, 2020, George Floyd, that began to say, hey, this, you know, we need to consider that these films. So they'll get more selected than anything else.
Right.
And guess what's at the bottom of the pyramid?
What is at the bottom of the pyramid?
Actual merit. It is typically the least prioritized factor in decision-making process.
Oh my goodness.
So how is that fair? If this is true, how is that fair?
That's not fair. But it's not the person who needs it to fair. It's not their game.
Exactly. My point is you must, as we wrap out of this episode, if you're in these film communities and we need film communities.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We need you. If you're in a film community, you need to know who you are first.
Right.
You need to be very grounded in what you like. And if you like reality TV and that's where you want to pursue it, pursue that wholeheartedly. But if you are with an avant-garde artist who is trying to make, you know, a Basquiat, you right. better think twice because you're going to be frustrated.
Right.
And you need to understand how it works. You need to understand they could promise you everything and it may not deliver because of the reality of the industry. Mm-hmm. That's just doing your homework and then taking your time to vet people. I cannot say that enough. Take your time, vet them out, and be intentional about what it is that you want to do, for what you like to do. I know some people, you know, they hate reality TV and some people love it. Some people love Zeus. Some people can't stand it.
Right.
It's all what's in your cup of tea, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like that if people have that and they know how to operate it in that, they won't try to build in a community that's not for them.
Right.
You know, I just feel like, and you can grow.
Right. You can plant your seeds in the right fertile land.
Okay, Joe. So let me drop the keys because, you know, we drop the keys to our brothers and sisters on It Doesn't Work That Way. The key is you must aim to cultivate your community with values. And this is on the front of our website. Integrity, patience, and respect. I don't care what anything says, that's going to protect you all day long. It just is. And do the work. Believe in yourself and stay the course in making your vision come to life. And be aware. I can't stress that enough. So to that young man at NYU Tulsa in April of 2025, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope these tips help you, and I hope it helps others that are listening, because we all want to be a part of a community. Nobody wants to be solo.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. So thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Kashell, we miss you.
We do. Ooh, I ain't gonna lie, though. I like it here.
Okay, come on. I like you here, too. That was good. That was good. So I want to thank our brothers and sisters of the It Doesn't Work That Way community. We would be grateful if you could give us a 5-star rating and share your thoughts on Apple Podcasts. Why Apple Podcasts, Kalisha? Because Apple Podcasts helps us gain a wider audience. To leave ratings and reviews, simply scroll to the bottom of the show page and click on write a review. We would greatly appreciate it. And since you're already here, brothers and sisters, hit the subscribe, follow, favorite button and join our community. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section. For more information about myself, Kalisha, and Kashell, including Joe. Hey. And our other podcast host, you can visit our website at wattsproductions.com/podcast. Kashell will always say WATZS. And share this episode with your friends who might find it interesting. Sharing is caring. We'll see you next time. Bye, guys.